20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Hope your weekend treated you well. I've got a fun episode lined up for today. I was supposed to record with Nathan and Tyler, which then became Nathan, which then became Nathan and Sarah. And then Nathan didn't work out. I didn't work out. And we had to kind of scrap it. And I kind of wanted to do something that was going to be a little bit more fun today. We're finishing up our free agent series this week. So tomorrow I'm going to be talking to Justice Mosqueda. And then the next 2 days are going to be finalizing defensive end and defensive tackle. And then the end of the week on Friday is going to be my perfect Packers offseason plan. What I would do, what I want Green Bay to do, we're going to kind of wrap it all up on Friday with that if all goes according to plan. And what I thought I would do today, slightly out of order, is go over what I think Green Bay would do at each position. So today we're going to be going over the most likely free agent addition at every position. So we're going to go over that in just a moment. Before we get there, a couple quick updates. Shout out to brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Spencer Geller and Jake Kohner. Jake, an all new all-pro member. Jake, appreciate that a ton. Of course, Spencer as well. Thank you guys for signing up. Well, one thing I just want to say really quick, and I've had people reach out and say like, Andy, I'm so sorry. I wish I could support the channel, but just don't. Never a requirement. Here's the cool thing. I get to come and talk Packers every single day, 365 days a year. And the fact that anyone is along for the ride and on this journey is the coolest thing ever in the world. So as I've talked about in the past, for some people, this is just a distraction. Some people just need somebody to be able to talk Packers every single day. This is here for you. There's going to be a new Packers episode 365 days a year on the audio channel. Only missed once on the YouTube channel. You get my point, but that's what this is for. Just for a fun conversation about the Green Bay Packers 365 days a year. If you like it and you'd like to support it, awesome. Never, ever a requirement. Like it, comment on it, tell a friend about it. Those things are always awesome as well. But your just viewing experience in and of itself is more than I could ever ask for. So thank you to all of you for making this what it is. And I really, really appreciate that you take the time ever to just check out Pack-A-Day and anything that I have to say about the Green Bay Packers. That means the world to me. Everything else is the cherry on top of the sundae. And Jake and Spencer, thank you so much again for signing up today. Speaking of really cool and exciting things, man, what a shout out to the one and only Tom Grassi, NFL fan of the year, just dude of the decade, like the ultimate curator of chaotic good, and to raise $1 million for charity. Now he's at what, over $2 million for charity now, and maybe even more than that. $1 million in a week. I mean, that is a unbelievable number. $1 million for charity just for sitting, not just for, I'm not diminishing in any way. I'm just saying, like, by sitting at his desk at his house and just getting in front of a camera for a week straight, earning $1 million for charity. It's unbelievable. And it's so cool from so many different layers and levels. The fact that A, he was able to succeed in this endeavor, that B, you have the ability now to get on camera wherever you might be and make an impact. And no, I know not all of us have the ability to raise $1 million like Tom. That's obviously something that is special that he has built, but we all have the ability to make an impact in a variety of different ways. I'm so happy for the Pack-A-Day podcast community that we were able to help in a very, 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 very minuscule amount of that $1 million by raising $1,000 for Tom and helping him out there. Just a really cool endeavor. Can't thank Tom enough for being a bastion of positivity, not only in the world, but as a Packers fan, as somebody that, again, is a proud supporter of the green and gold and consistently carries the G. Awesome job, Tom. Can't thank you enough for, again, being the flag bearer for all things Green Bay Packers as fans. And you are the standard bearer for podcasting, for Packers podcasting, for Packers fans. And you continue to be somebody that raises the bar every step of the way, and especially when it comes to chaotic good. So kudos to Tom and all the work that he has done, and kudos to the entire Grassi Posse Nation, who again raised $1 million for charity. All right, Let's get to our list. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be going position by position and telling you the most likely free agent signing for the Packers at each of these positions. Some easier than others, some excruciatingly difficult. Cough, cough, wide receiver. We'll get there in a moment. I want to reiterate, this is not what I would have done or would do. This is what I think the Packers would potentially do at each position. And I will very much go into detail on my justification for each of these potential additions. So without further ado, the Packers' most likely free agent signings at every single position this offseason. We are going to start at quarterback. We'll just go right through the roster. This is a tough one, right? Because I think in each of these, we have to sort of define what Green Bay needs or doesn't need. Jordan Love's the starter. Malik Willis is a tremendous backup. I don't see Malik Willis getting traded or going anywhere. You've got Sean Clifford as your number three, who I think an ideal world would be in camp as maybe your number four. And then you probably have a spot open. But this spot could be anything between a draft pick, a flyer, you know, street free agent, somebody that comes from, you know, the CFL or something like that. You could have a late round draft pick, undrafted free agent, or maybe some sort of younger veteran that just didn't work out somewhere else. You could go in a variety of different directions here. But I do think they'll have four quarterbacks in camp. And in an ideal world, you would love some competition maybe for Sean Clifford as that number three. And you would like somebody to push him, whether it's Clifford that wins it or the other quarterback that wins it. And you would like to have somebody that potentially could be a backup by next year if, in fact, Malik Willis does leave in free agency as would be expected in 2026. So you don't need a guy. You don't need a big free agent signing. You don't need a backup quarterback style signing, meaning like a real true number two. You don't need a high-end draft pick for a draft and develop here. You're looking at a, you know, young developmental player that could help you in some capacity, push for that number three spot, and hopefully by next year in 2026, become the backup. So my quarterback for Green Bay here is Desmond Ridder for the Las Vegas Raiders. Actually started some games and played some snaps last year. 6'3", 207. Here's the big thing. He will turn 26 in August. Remember, he beat the Packers in Atlanta a couple of years ago. And the bigger thing here too is he's a phenomenal athlete. So he's got great speed and athleticism, can get to the outside. Remember, he beat up Green Bay with his legs pretty good. And kind of think of, you know, Malik Willis. This is a very similar Malik Willis type trajectory here. Ridder was a, what was he? He was an early-ish draft pick. He wasn't like a super early one. What was he? Just double checking it here. He was a third round draft pick. Yeah, third round draft pick in 2022. Was Malik Willis a second, right? If I remember correctly. So yeah, Malik Willis. Actually, no, they're third round picks. So Malik Willis was 86th overall. And then Desmond Ridder was 74th overall. So it's like almost identical, right? Former third round picks, fantastic athletes, didn't work out with their initial team. And now you bring him potentially in to develop over the course of a season and hopefully be ready for 2026 to basically take over for Malik Willis. There's one catch here. Ridder is a restricted free agent with the Raiders. Now, with the restricted free agent tender comes a little bit of a higher salary, usually in like the $3 million range. It's possible that the Raiders would offer him that. I think it's likely that they decline the restricted free agent tender. They're going to want to go in a different direction. They're not going to have any specific plans for Desmond Ridder. So, and especially you've got a new coach there, you've got a new regime there. I think there's a really great chance that they do not, you know, offer him a restricted free agent tender. And if that is the case, he becomes an unrestricted free agent. And if that is the case, I very much could see Green Bay taking a flyer on him if it's like a one-year vet minimum and seeing if Matt LaFleur in this system could work for Desmond Ridder. Is he a great quarterback? No. Is he somebody that reads through his progressions and can make all these unbelievable throws? No. Does he have talent? Absolutely. Is he a great athlete? Unbelievably, right? So there are things that you can work with there. Again, not super dissimilar to what you just brought in last year with Malik Willis. So that is my reasoning. I think if they do bring in a quarterback, which isn't super likely, I think it's more likely that it's probably an undrafted free agent or a super late draft pick, something like that. But let's say they don't get somebody in the draft. Maybe there's not that undrafted quarterback that they like. Then maybe they do go with a, 26-year-old, and he's just turning 26 in August. He's still 25 as of today. A younger quarterback with some upside and some talent. Desmond Ridder would be the one, I think, if they did pick up somebody, assuming that he does not get a restricted free agent tender from the Raiders. Running back. we're talking about a very similar situation here as at running back as we did with quarterback. You don't need a running back, right? You've got Josh Jacobs. You've got Marshawn Lloyd, Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks. You've got a stable of backs that you already like. We'll see what happens with AJ Dillon. I don't expect him to be back, but we'll see what happens there. And you probably grab an undrafted free agent or two. Maybe if there's, again, a fifth, sixth, seventh round back that you really love, you could theoretically add somebody, although it's probably a little bit overkill at this point. So what would you be looking for? You're certainly not signing a big time free agent running back or even a number two. You have those players already in hand on your roster, that most of which are not making any money outside of Josh Jacobs. So here's my answer. If they were to take a flyer on somebody, again, we're going young, a running back who just turned 26 years old, Trey Sermon, unrestricted free agent from the Colts, 6 foot, 215. He's got that big build, was a 9.67 relative athletic score coming out of college, has not lived up to expectations. You're talking about a one-year vet minimum, a flyer on a guy that looks the part, that has that unbelievable athleticism, a player that Goody would probably like, that fits the mold that Green Bay likes at running back. This is what you're looking for. Just a cheap, young, talented running back that you bring into a new system, and there's zero risk and some reward. Or if it all of a sudden pays off, great. If it doesn't, you've got your running backs already. It's basically like adding a, you know, young, undrafted free agent running back that just happens to be, what, a couple years older than maybe some of these 23, 24-year-olds coming out of college. So I don't hate it. If I'm Green Bay, again, you're not looking for anything more than that. There's no need to go out big game shopping at running back, but finding a nice little flyer, 26-year-old with a huge relative athletic score coming out of college that fits Green Bay's mold, yeah, that's probably what you're looking at if Green Bay were to sign a free agent running back. So I'm gonna go with Trey Sermon, again, unrestricted free agent for the Colts. Man, wide receiver is such a pain in the ass. It has been from the entire offseason till today, and I still have no idea. I have gone back and forth. I have combed the wide receiver availabilities, who could get traded, who could get signed, who could get cut. I have gone over this and over this and over this again. And I am desperately trying to find somebody that makes sense for Green Bay. And the truth of the matter is there is a red herring or at least a red flag on just about everyone that makes you go, yeah, it's probably not going to be them. We narrowed it down the other day. We went through wide receivers and we went through it in great detail. I put them in three tiers is what I came down to. I said tier one was Davante Adams and DK Metcalf. If you could get one of those wide receivers, yeah, Devontae would have to get cut. I don't think they'd trade for him. I don't think that Seattle trades DK Metcalf. Maybe they do, but I don't necessarily see that. And I also don't think he's a perfect 1A fit for Matt LaFleur in this offense either. Darius Slayton, he just gets paid too much. He's not a dynamic player. He can definitely stretch the field. I don't think it's impossible, but it's a 28-year-old okay to good wide receiver that doesn't really move the needle all that much, and you're going to have to overpay for it. Does that sound like something Goody's going to want to do? I don't think so. And quite frankly, I hope not. DJ Chark, I don't know that he moves the needle. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, not what you're looking for, but I could see Green Bay having some level of interest there. Deami Brown was a little bit of an interesting one, but he had a really great quarterback this past year and still was not the dynamic player that you were sort of looking for when he was coming out of the draft. And that leaves me with one. And that's what I'm going with here. And it's been brought up before. I've kind of been like, I don't know. I don't necessarily see it. I'll say one other thing here. I really, just for the sake of content, wanted to go like, Davante Adams, yay, Davante, most likely Green Bay. I just can't get there. I really just can't get there. I will be not stunned, but I'll be pretty surprised if Davante is back in Green Bay in any real capacity. Maybe, you know, something happens or, yeah, I don't know. But I think he probably still has some, you know, kind of not resentment maybe, but just frustration with how things ended in Green Bay. I'm sure you could overcome that. If Green Bay makes him the highest offer, he'd probably be willing to come to Green Bay. But I don't think Green Bay is going to be the one that makes him the highest offer. I don't quite see it. It's one of the ones that's up there, by the way. It's right there. It's not far off. And that's why I say it's just like you go through all of these wide receivers and almost none makes sense. But I will get to the other former Packers wide receiver that I think does make sense. And that's Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I get it. Some of you are going to be frustrated by that. Obviously, I think all of us want something a little bit more than that. The truth is you're looking at either a extreme overpay or somebody that doesn't fit exactly the right way that you want, somebody that's well on the decline of their career, in a lot of cases, somebody that's on the decline of their career and an overpay. There's just not that receiver that makes sense. Or it's a more possession wide receiver, something that they don't necessarily need the same. They need kind of a game breaker and a playmaker. So you're not going to necessarily get the overall number one wide receiver in MVS. You're not going to get the, you know, I would say like, you know, not consistent playmaker, but you do have somebody that can take the top off and open things up a little bit underneath. And that teams at least have to account for down the field. Made some big plays last year when he got to the Saints. He still has some flaws. He still is not the greatest route runner in the world. Again, he's not the most dynamic after the catch, unless he's just a, you know, just a speed. All right. If he can just run away from people, he's great. But outside of that, he's not the most dynamic. You know, again, drops and route running, all of it, just it's not necessarily his 1A forte, but he's got great size, great speed, and he can stretch a defense. So you weaponize it. You hope that he can give you that up until the point where Christian Watson comes back. Now, I'm not saying that Green Bay should rest on that they can't, you know, look for maybe a deadline deal down the road or a high-end draft pick if the right one is available to him. But I don't think that there's a perfect free agent signing out there. So rather than go and spend probably way too much money on a Darius Slayton or, you know, try to maybe trade something aggressive for a DK Metcalf, I think in this scenario, just taking the thing that's probably close to a vet minimum, bringing him in. And here's the thing, like if you sign him close to that and it doesn't work out, you cut him in camp and you figure out and go in a different direction. But I'm going to go MVS. If you have a better option, I know there's better options. Let me be very, very clear. I just don't think there's better options that Green Bay is actually going to sign. So I'm going to go with MVS in this situation. Tight end is a player that we talked about in our episode the other day of under the radar free agent targets. And that's Hunter Long for the Rams tight end. 6'5", 253, third round pick in 2021, 66.6 PFF grade. He turns 27 in August. He plays some special teams, good run blocker, good pass blocker, and he's got some athleticism as well. So he kind of fits the mold coming from the Rams. He comes from that McVay system, should fit very well in Green Bay and is not going to break the bank. So if you can get him on a nice, cheap, team-friendly kind of deal as your number three tight end, somebody that can come in and compete with a John Fitzpatrick if they find a way to get him back. Right now, Fitzpatrick's a restricted free agent. Ben Sims, maybe a late round tight end or something like that. I think he'd be a nice competition piece and would give you something a little bit different at tight end than you have with Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave. And very clearly, you don't need a big time tight end here. Kraft's going to be your one. You're still hoping that Musgrave can develop in a pretty significant way. You're just looking for somebody who maybe makes sense specifically as that really good blocking tight end. Nobody's going to confuse Hunter Long for Mercedes Lewis, right? But Long does a good job of it. And I do think he would fit very well in that role and would carve out a nice niche role for himself in Green Bay if he got that opportunity. Offensive tackle. We talked about offensive lineman the other day. I'm going to go Dylan Radunz here. Offensive tackle for the Titans. You might say like, hey, he actually played guard last year. He did play guard. He's a versatile player. He played tackle guard, has not panned out perfectly in Tennessee the way that they would have hoped. He was the 53rd overall pick when they selected him, 4 years ago now. He can play a variety of different positions, left tackle, right tackle, left guard, right guard, which we know Green Bay values. He's still only 27 years old, had a 67.2 PFF grade in 2023 when he was playing more tackle. So actually at the end of 2023, he was playing tackle more and playing some of his best football in the NFL at that point in time. And then they moved him to guard this year and he just had a lot more trouble with it. So I think as somebody that is your seventh, eighth offensive lineman that can play tackle, guard, you know, on either side, four different positions, you know, former second round pick, he's got some talent. I like this idea for Green Bay. I think he could be a fit, somebody that Green Bay looks at and again, gives them some versatility and depth. That they really need at the moment just to kind of back up some of those starters that they already have set in place along the offensive line. Center or interior offensive line, I'm going to go Coleman Shelton, the center for the Bears. 6'4", 300, another player we talked about in our Under the Radar series. 30 years old in July, 66.1 and 66.4 PFF grades. He was the 12th ranked center by PFF last year. He's a similar pass blocker as Josh Myers. Myers might be slightly better, but he'd be an upgrade as a run blocker. He has guard and center versatility, 7.69 relative athletic score. Before the Bears, he played with the Rams. So again, familiar with kind of that Sean McVay style system, which, you know, obviously LaFleur is borrowed from. Here's how I would put this. And we talked about this a little bit on the offensive line episode, right? You don't have this need, nor probably desire to go out and spend a huge chunk of money on an offensive lineman. You've got good players 1 through 5 right now. Maybe you resign Josh Myers, right? And I should note that I'm not going over any re-signings as possibilities in this episode today. So Josh Myers is not eligible for this conversation here. If Myers leaves and you want a little bit more competition at center, to me, there's not a ton of other options. Drew Dahlman's going to get paid. I don't think Green Bay does that. Ryan Kelly's a little bit older and has had some injury issues. Don't think you go there. And Shelton, I think in a weird way, is as good, if not maybe a little bit better than Josh Myers, but at a fraction of the cost, maybe even like half the cost, maybe 3/4 of the cost. Actually, he's a little bit cheaper. He's a little bit older, but has a little bit more experience. I think you would plug him in and not even notice a difference, and you get him cheaper than what probably Josh Myers even goes for on the open market. So I'm going to go Coleman Shelton here. I think he does make some sense. Allows you to attack the rest of the offensive line depth via the draft. Try to make some upgrades that way. Gives you an established center that can play there. Maybe he's not the starter. Maybe you still go with, whether it's Elgton Jenkins or, Sean Ryan or one of those guys. But if you want an established center in there, you have one and you could go in that direction. And I still think he's probably an upgrade over Josh Myers. So I'm going to go Coleman Shelton at center for Green Bay. All right, defensive end. We could go in a lot of different directions here. But I think the one that is more and more clear to me as I kind of think about this for Green Bay is Josh Sweat, the defensive end for the Eagles. Now, it is quite possible that the Eagles prioritize him and he doesn't get out of Philly. But if he does, Josh Sweat is a goody dream player. All right. Extreme high-end athleticism. Plays the run pretty well. Plays the pass extremely well. He's got a variety of different moves. Again, massive, massive high-end athlete. 28 years old. You're probably going to sign him to a 4-year deal, knowing that you're probably going to get him for 3 years. So you get him for what? Ages 28, 29, and 30, and then you're probably moving off of it. If he's still playing very well, then you get him at age 31 as well. I think that's more than reasonable for, a pretty premium pass rusher. He's probably a tick below maybe some of the, of course, like the Max Crosbys and the Miles Garretts, the Trey Hendricksons and those of the world, but he's right up there. He's a very talented player, fits well within Jeff Hafley's defense. Gives him a little bit of a different flavor. And I think he actually makes very good bookends with Rashawn Gary. I think those two would complement each other very, very well. So I'm going to go Josh Sweat as your new defensive end for the Green Bay Packers, the most likely signing at that position. Defensive tackle, going to Detroit. Levi Nwuzurike, somebody that we've talked about on a couple of different occasions. We did a deep dive on him. He also came up in our series the other day of under the radar signings. Turns 27 in March, 6'3", 304. Good size, great fit within Hafley's defense, 8.73 RAS coming out, was the 41st overall pick in 2021. He just makes all the sense. The only reason he doesn't is he's probably a little bit redundant to what you have already in Devontae Wyatt and in Carl Brooks specifically, and kind of in Colby Wooden as well. That's the hard part, is they don't really need a 3 technique. They need more of a run stopper, but I don't think there's a great run stopper on the market. So you may be moving Kenny over, but you can use more depth and competition within Nwuzurike would very much give you. I think the more likely situation here is that they go at the 5 guys that they have and then add to it via the draft. I think that's the most likely. But if they did sign one, I think Levi Nwuzurike by far and away makes the most sense. Linebacker, it's another really tough one. I talked about Oren Burks the other day in the under the radar. I'm going to bring up one more under the radar guy that could make some sense. Caleb Johnson, linebacker for the Jaguars. Had an 85.6 grade on special teams, has played 1,194 special team snaps over the last 4 seasons, was an 8.67 relative athletic score linebacker coming out of college. He turns only 27 in July. That's what Green Bay needs, right? You're probably going Cooper, Hopper, and Quay as your 3 primary linebackers, with Quay and Cooper and Nickel, and then we'll see who ends up getting the dime. You don't need a top-end player here. They're not going to go out and spend a bunch of money on the position, but they could use a veteran sort of special teams guy that can come in and be your number 5 or 6 guy. And Caleb Johnson is exactly that. If they don't want to bring back an Eric Wilson or an Isaiah McDuffie, Caleb Johnson could make a ton of sense, and he would be a huge, huge key special teams player for Rich Bisaccia and company. Corner, we've talked about quite a bit, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it here. But Paulson Adebo for me, corner from the Saints, 6'1", 192, 26 years old, outside corner, 63.3 PFF grade this past year, 78.6 the year before that. You just got to be careful with the injury, make sure that it's good to go and that he's healthy moving forward. has a 67.0 passer rating when targeted, 69.9 the year before that. He does get penalized a ton, but he fits this Halfley defense perfect. I think he actually fits better in Halfley's than he did anything in the Saints days. And I think you could see him potentially come in and play some of the best corner of his career in this system. So he is a really good corner. I don't think he completely breaks the bank. And I do think Green Bay could potentially strike it rich with a Debo if he does, in fact, live up to expectations and come in and crush it with the Packers. Safety is a tough one, right? You look at the depth chart and you've got Javon Bullard to some extent, right? Obviously, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Gaetano Ladapo, Zane Anderson. You've got five good safeties already. Like, you need nothing at safety. But I'll give you one anyway that I think does make some sense. Jason Pinnock, safety for the Giants, started 2,000 plus snaps on defense the last two seasons. 6'2", 205, only turns 26 in June, has 467 career special team snaps, and would probably have played a lot more than that had he not been starting the last two seasons. Was a 9.77 relative athletic score player coming out of college, and guess what? Played corner in college, made the transition to safety. Is that not a Goody type? He's very, very much a Goody type. If you can get him on a close to a vet minimum deal or something near it, could easily see Green Bay and Goody just saying, we'll take a flyer on it. Maybe pays off for us. Yeah, he's number six on our depth chart right now, but all of a sudden we suffer a couple of injuries and he could be somebody that comes in and maybe plays in a pinch, and I think he can play pretty well. I've been a Pinnock guy coming out of college, liked him early in his career with the Giants, struggled a little bit more as of late, but as did everyone on the Giants. It's another of like, hey, pick him up off the Giants team. That team sucked, and maybe you can bring him to your franchise and bring out the goodness in him, where it seems just like everyone sometimes goes to New York to not play their best football. Take him out of that environment, and maybe you get a diamond in the rough. All right, so that does it for our position-by-position preview of the most likely player that Green Bay could sign at each position. Just to recap it, Desmond Ridder at quarterback, Trey Sermon at running back, MVS at wide receiver, Hunter Long at tight end, Dylan Radunes at offensive tackle, Coleman Shelton in the interior of the offensive line, Josh Sweat at defensive end, Levi Nwuzurike at defensive tackle, Caleb Johnson at linebacker, Paulson Adebo at corner. Safety is Jason Pinnock of the New York Giants. A lot of other players that could make sense here, especially at defensive end and corner, et cetera. We've gone over those. If you haven't checked out the offensive line and corner episodes and wide receiver episodes yet, make sure to check those out. We take a deeper dive into each of them, and the defensive end and defensive tackle ones will be coming later this week if all goes according to plan. Of course, we got Justice Mosqueda coming back on tomorrow, so make sure to check out that episode as well. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, Dave McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Arnoldo Espinoza, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keith, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, and Jay Conner. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.